welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, and I think as we look at them, you know, kind of begin to see a continuity here and a theme. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I think this is NLT. "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." In other words, we see a spiritual principle of sowing and reaping as it relates to our tongue, as it relates to our mouth, our words. The things that we say can produce death, or the things that we say can produce life. Another proverb along these lines a little bit: "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." New Living: "Everyone who enjoys a fitting reply, it is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time." Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. That word in due season, how good it is. Saying the right thing at the right time with the power of life that's in your tongue. Finally, here's another scripture in Ephesians: "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." The Amplified says, "But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others." All right? So we're seeing, hopefully, a continuity of theme here, that we have a tremendous gift on the inside of us. We have a power on the inside of us in our words. And those words can produce life. They can produce death, the proverb writer says. And here, as we see in the New Testament, we see we're to only speak words that are good for necessary edification, for spiritual progress. And there is a real satisfaction when you're doing that and you get the right word at the right time, in season. There's a satisfaction of heart you actually feel, almost like a good meal or something, when God uses you to speak life, to speak encouragement into somebody's life. And this morning, what I simply want to look at is what I'm calling the gift of encouragement. You know, what do you give that person who has everything? Well, I can tell you they don't have everything, because they have something that they need that you have, that you can give them. There is a gift. There's a gift of encouragement. There's a gift of life that comes through your words. There's a gift that we can be giving to each other this year. And a lot of times we don't always, I'm not always consciously aware of it. I mean, I know it theologically, but I have to be reminded of it. I have to be stirred up in it, because you can think something good about somebody or think something good, but a lot of times when you're thinking it, you got to be listening. Maybe God wants you to say something. Maybe there's something that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say to encourage. Because these kind of gifts, and you can think back to when people have encouraged you, these are gifts that they don't wear out. They go with you your whole life. And you can draw on that encouragement that you got years ago. And a lot of times, the people that might have said that something to you, they're going on. They don't even realize the impact that they've had at that one moment in time to say that thing. And we need to realize we have that same power in this one moment of time to say things. You know, I remember there was you sign each other's yearbooks, and you all see all the kind of stuff. It kind of gets repetitive after a while. And I remember a friend of mine just signed the yearbook. He said, "Ed, I know what people say. We think you're going to do good things, da-da-da-da-da." He said, "But I think it's really true about you. I think you are really going to make a difference in this world." It's like, wow. It's like that one stood out from all my other little yearbook things. And I never forgot about it. And I know his name. I can see him, you know. And I never really thought that he really even had that. I mean, we had a good friend and all that, but it was just like, wow. And I've carried that with me since 1985. Those words. So the gift of encouragement is powerful. It's something you have to give. It's not going to cost you anything out of pocket. It's just going to cost you something out of heart, though. You have to stop. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to say, Lord, you know, just invest some listening time in how you can pour into somebody's life. So this morning we're going to talk about the gift of encouragement. How can we give this gift this year in a very deliberate way? And as we do that, we're just going to look at a few examples throughout scriptures of people who've done this, who've given this gift of encouragement. And as we do, we're going to look at their example and how we can follow in their steps. So first, in terms of the gift of encouragement, we're going to look at the example of Barnabas, all right? And he had the encouragement of hope. He could just bring hope on a situation. And as we look at Barnabas as our initial example, it's a little ironic because of his very name. Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we see, "And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought it the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." It's kind of interesting, in Joses, who is also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. In other words, his name was Joseph, but the apostles call him Barnabas because his name means son of encouragement. Do you have any Barnabases in your life? They got their name, but you kind of got your name for them too. You know, they're a Barnabas. In other words, they're just around you, and it's just like they're just constantly building you up. I mean, they're finding some angle, you know, to encourage you, to prompt you and to believe in you. You know, that kind of a thing. And it's fun to be around people like that. It's fun to get a phone call from somebody like that. It's fun to, have those kind of people in your life. And God puts those kind of people in your life. And that's why it's good to have a church family, because there's a lot of good people in the church family that, you know you and see the good, the bad, and the ugly, but you're family, all right? And they love you as family. And they're here to encourage you and to build you up. And so Barnabas, he got a nickname. Barnabas was actually his nickname that the apostles gave it to him because I guess he was a real encourager. And we see this in his life too. We kind of see it demonstrated here in Acts chapter 9. You got to remember the great apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, didn't start out as the great apostle Paul. He started out as the great persecutor Saul, who hated the church, who Paul self-describes under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as the chiefest of sinners, all right? It wasn't just like, oh, I've got this addiction or I've got this addiction. Nah, this was a level of sin where I want to destroy the cross. I want to destroy the gospel. He just hated the church. And so you can understand this guy had a horrible background of persecuting, hauling Christians off to jail, separating parents and children. Right in the middle of these services, he'd come break up the services. This was a bad dude, all right? Now, we know kind of the rest of the story, Saul ended up getting saved. God gives him a supernatural, bright light experience. He calls on the name of the Lord. He's a believer now, and that's great news. But there's a lot of people that have been beat up by Saul who are having a hard time believing that this thing's the real deal. So as the story picks up here, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he's saved at this time, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. You know, in their minds, it's like, oh, okay, he's pretending to be one of us, so he finds out where the meeting is tonight, so he can, you know, bring the Pharisees over and break us up and haul us off to jail. We've kind of been down this path. We know these tricks. So they're not buying it, right? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And so here we see a powerful situation here where, you know, Barnabas took time to come alongside of Saul, Paul, and get his backstory, hear his heart, you know, give him a chance. And when he heard and saw it, he believed, and he believed in Saul. I mean, think about this. A big part of Saul becoming Paul was a Barnabas right in there. bringing him along, standing by him, standing with him in the face of a bunch of disciples that wanted nothing to do with him. You know, God will show you a person's heart in a way that you stand with them and affirm their heart, affirm their call. Not only did Barnabas do this with Saul to become Paul, but he also did it later on with his with Mark, John Mark. Now, Barnabas, after the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas went on this missionary journey together, and they took John Mark, who happened to be a family member of on Barnabas' side. And John Mark was the younger guy, apparently kind of cut out in the middle of the trip, got scared, who knows what it was exactly, but he left them. He completely, decided to go home. He didn't want this. I guess he probably had some glamorous idea of what it was going to be like to go on a missionary journey. Real life hit, and he just wanted to get back. And so now they're going to go on a second missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas says, let's bring John with us again. And Saul, Paul's going, no way. Come on. Didn't you learn from the last time? So that's kind of where the story picks up here. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. There was another guy, Silas, there, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So here we have the dispute, between Paul, Paul and Barnabas, who are co-workers now, but they split over this guy, John Mark, because the same heart that Barnabas had for Paul, for the disciples to trust this guy and to believe with him and stay with him, he has that same heart for Mark. And Mark has got to be feeling bad. He's got to be feeling horrible, shamed. He left him. He knows he is the one who departed from them in Pamphylia. He knows that. He's feeling that, probably shame and identity. But here you got Barnabas coming alongside Mark saying, I'm not giving up on him. We need to stick with him, Paul. Now, this is not a matter about who's right or who's wrong in terms of this service. Should he have stayed with him? The point is Barnabas had that heart. I'm staying with John Mark no matter what. And you find out later, now, later in Paul's ministry, he makes reference back to Mark. He says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for the Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. The same Paul that wanted nothing to do with him is now saying, get him. He is useful. I need Mark. He is useful for me for the ministry. Well, thank God there was a Barnabas that stuck with Mark and his point of probably feeling like a total failure.
Yes.
He stayed with him, encouraged him, praise God, to the point where the very guy who wanted nothing to do with him now needs him because he's useful for the ministry. There's a gift of encouragement. There's a gift of hope that we have on the inside to give. And a lot of times you're just affirming something that God has put in there. I remember Julie's Uncle Denny encouraged me one time. We were sitting there in the garage in the car. I'll never forget it. And he's saying, what about this, Ed? You're gonna pastor someday? You're gonna go in the ministry someday? And I'm going, oh, yeah. Because Ed had been in Bible school and had been helping out in the church, a lot of supportive ministries, saying, someday we're gonna pastor that. Someday we're going to start the church. And he looked at me and said, maybe today's the day. Maybe today is the day. And he said, if God asked you to, get a little ham and egger job to be able to start in the ministry, would you do that? And I said, and of course the answer is yes, I would. But in my heart, I had to search my heart and go, wow, maybe today's the day. At that point, he was really in fellowship with God. And he just kind of said it spontaneously. He didn't realize when he said those words how they would ring in my heart. Sometimes you're going to say a word of encouragement. And really, part of it's none of your business. It's just your job to say what you hear him say. After you've done that, you've done your job. And they don't even have to show their whole hand, all right? Because I didn't even show my whole hand. But you go off on your own, and those words will keep resonating in your spirit. Maybe today is the day. And those words of affirmation of the call, really got my heart and my mind open. I began to make those steps, and the Holy Spirit took up further in those words, said, Ed, do you have your resume together? If the opportunity came, would you be ready today? If it did come today. He said, I don't. And all of a sudden, I just began to go down that path. And within a few weeks, I got an email from Door County. Well, it was an email from Rhema, which was my school that I went to, with ministerial opportunities right at the top, Door County, Wisconsin, looking for someone to help pioneer a church. That was within weeks of after I've had the, maybe now is the time, and preparing and all that. He was just encouraging me. But those words of encouragement can have huge directional impacts and implications. You know, our daughter, Lindsay, and her husband, Isaac, have started this online company, Little One Shop, and, you know, we were excited when they were telling us about how they were going to do this, and kind of an idea, just a little thought. I thought, well, that's interesting. Lindsay is such an entrepreneur that it was just kind of like, yeah, that sounds like something Lindsay would do. But this recently, she published, and they've really become successful over the last 2-3 years. She recently published a little Instagram or Facebook article on just the story of the journey, how it just started with an idea and obstacles and hard work, praying, God being faithful, all those little different components to see where she started from and where they are today. And just her simple little testimonial description of her journey, as I'm reading it, and I'm thinking about little things in my heart and different stuff like that, it's almost like a friend coming alongside of you and saying, hey, in the same way I was, because it's a person, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God who's with you all along the step of the way. The same one who was with Lindsay in her journey lives in me and loves me and is with me in my journey. And there's something about a testimony of somebody else who's walked through that, that can be an encouragement. You know, you're just telling your story, and it can have this kind of an effect, an encouragement of hope and sparking things that you can see that. You know, you have that in you. You know, there's things that you want to do, but there's things you've done. You know, there's things you want to get to, but God has blessed you and helped you through some stuff. And you got to realize that there are, you already have, even though you might be looking for some things, there's things in you, there's successes, there's victory, there's overcoming, there is fruit, there's answered prayers, there is testimonial that you have in you that you can just share. That can be an encouragement to somebody else. It's not that you're telling them what they have to do, but you're just telling your story, and the Holy Spirit will take their story and start to speak to them in a way that it's between them and God. So that's one way when we begin to encourage each other. It's kind of almost what we're calling the encouragement of hope with a Barnabas. The other one we'll see is the example of Paul. And this is what I'm simply calling the encouragement of faith, all right? Just an encouragement of faith. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we were destined for such troubles. Even when we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. So here is a situation where he's encouraging them in their faith because they're going through stuff. You know, even though you know stuff is coming and you're going through it, it's a great time to be able to encourage people when you're going through stuff. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage your faith, not to be shaken by the troubles. We kind of know our theology about what we believe about God, but it is there's a time and a place for a very specific word of encouragement where you take that truth and you bring it home. The Apostle Paul also said it to the Colossians this way. He said, for I want you to know what great conflict I have for you, for those in Laodicea, for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. My concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, encouraged as they're knit together in love. Why? For the understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, of both the Father and of Christ. And so when we're talking about this kind of encouragement, we're talking about there's certainly that personal encouragement of hope like we see from a Barnabas, but there's also an encouragement of faith. In other words, there's going to be some times where the Lord is going to use you to simply, truth and love, encourage somebody that, hey, you want to know something? Man, I know you're in a bad spot. I know things are shaken right now. But I'll tell you what, you know, you can still do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He is still there. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I'm encouraging your faith. He that is in you is still greater than he that is in the world. I know you feel this way right now, but you are still a new creation. The old has all still gone, and the new has still come. There is an encouragement of faith. And this is where you're going to be listening, kind of sensitive on the inside. Lord, how do I encourage this person's faith? You listen to their heart. And I know people can be, you know, I'm not talking about hitting them over the head with the Bible, all right? I'm talking about the truth in love. I'm talking about listening carefully and encouraging as the Holy Spirit shows you different ways. Because there's sometimes we just need that. It's not like there's new theology here. Just needing to encourage your faith. I told you this was coming, Paul's saying, but I'm coming back, you know, to encourage your faith. I'm coming back with a Timothy. I'm coming back with somebody to let you know it's all right. It's okay. God is with you. Sometimes you're not trying to teach anything new. You're just affirming. You're affirming the faith, affirming it. I know this is true. I know he's with you. I know God is for you. And, you know, no matter what you've done, his blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. There's nothing left uncleansed. There's nothing that you have to live on top of. To be able to be assured of those things, encouraged in your faith, in his love, in his protection, in his being there for you, in his forgiveness, in his mercy, different things like that. I know I've shared with you a few weeks back, I think, some testimony about me and this guy, Steve. We would do some street witnessing in Minneapolis. It was Hennepin Avenue. And like I said, he was kind of like the main evangelist guy. I just kind of tag along and learn from him. But we had this one situation where this lady, you know, probably a middle-aged lady, she's just driving around in her car. And it's pretty late at night. I mean, we're there. It's dark. It's probably 8 or 9 at night. We're just hitting the streets, you know, going to people where they are, meet them at their need. And Steve, for some reason, there was a fast food place. He went in to use the restroom. So I was just standing there by myself. And she pulls up, and she pulls off to the side, and she's yelling something out the door. And I couldn't understand what she was saying. And just as I was going over, Steve had just came out and just caught up with me. And as we were walking over toward her, she said, "Do you have any drugs?" And I said, "No, I don't have any drugs." She was looking. She was not in her right place, and she was looking for drugs. She needed something, some kind of fix. And Steve just like spotted it right away. It's like he's kind of seen this stuff. He said, "Ma'am, could you just pull over to the side there?" And I don't know. He said, "Just, you know, we were like on an intersection." On the right-hand side, she said, there was a parking lot on the other side. "You just pull over and just pull over into that parking lot there. We just want to talk to you for a second." So she pulled over, went in the parking lot there, and Steve just said, "Ma'am, we're just sharing with people the good news of Jesus, that God loves you." And as soon as he said that, she just broke down and started crying because she's a believer, and she knows God. And she's trying to live for God, and she just hit some hard time, something. And she was just crying because she knows God. And she said that, I know Jesus, but it's like I'm beyond help here. And as soon as I knew she was a Christian, she was a believer, and she felt like she knew she was beyond hope, it's like, okay, Steve, I got this. This is what I do. This is like, yes. It's not. I wasn't happy for her, but I was happy that I get this. You know, I can help you. I can. And it's like I stepped in there, and it was just like this stuff right here, just spraying from my heart. She was in that place of brokenness. I can tell you what, ma'am, that throne of grace is still there, and there's mercy and there's grace for you right now at that throne of grace. And as I said those words, she's like, I just can't believe, because she's, you know, she's a believer. She knows better. And she's looking for drugs at night. And what a better evidence for her that God hasn't given up on her than somebody is right there to say, man, we're here for you right now. God loves you. He hasn't given up on you. And I just remember praying with her and just having her declare the mercy and the grace. And it was like she was two different people. She came there one way. And you know how it is? It's, you know, you're not yourself when you're in the flesh. But when you get back in the spirit, when you get back in the spirit, man, it's like she just went from the flesh to the spirit. And there was a peace, and there was a knowing, and there was a joy. It's like the satisfaction that you're trying to get from the flesh. The Holy Spirit has that satisfaction of spirit, you know. And it's, you know, I understand that there's process that you overcome the deeds of the flesh, that there's process there, but there's also an instant presence of God that all of a sudden you're discerning, this is God, this is flesh, I choose God. And all of a sudden it's life and peace. Don't have all the answers, I just got life and peace. So you got spiritually minded in the presence of God. And she's right there. It's like, man, and she was so happy and so thrilled. And I prayed, and I just shared some things in counsel right along this line. So he never leaves you, never forsake. You might feel like you're alone. You might feel like you're isolated, driving out here in your car, but you're not. He's there. He's with you. He hasn't given up on you. You know, and there's nothing that can separate you from that love that's in him. You know, you can say these truths that you know in a way that resonate at that moment in time, but God will show you how to say some of this stuff. And what are you doing? Just encouraging in the faith. You're just encouraging her faith that God loves you. He's still there. I know this is a big deal, but he that's in you is greater than that. I don't know how he's going to do it either, but I can encourage you. He's there, and you can do it through him. You can do all things, including this thing, through him. So what is it? It was an encouraging her faith, and I remember she drove off. She was so grateful, and I just remember I felt so grateful. You know, either it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And when God uses you to be able to give to a person at that point, it's like, thank you. The gift of encouragement. That there's something you have in you that is more precious than gold and silver. It's the gift of love and life in your words. And you, from there, you can share from your own experience, different things like that. But there is a gift. There's a gift of encouragement of the faith that comes, and we can see how Paul had that. He just wanted to encourage their faith. And finally, I'm going to say just the example of Jesus, and this is the encouragement of prayer, all right? I love this heart that we see in Jesus and the way he would encourage. This was Peter, just before he was about to deny him three times, the account. It says, and the Lord, Jesus, said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. Have you ever felt that? Like you're going through a test. It's like you're being sifted as wheat, an attack. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, he didn't pray that he won't deny him, because he tells him he will deny him, but that your faith doesn't fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. He said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. All right. He wasn't praying that he wouldn't deny him. He was praying that in the middle of that dark place, he wouldn't let go of his faith, but that he'd hold on to his faith. You know, that his faith wouldn't fail. Because that's ultimately what's getting tested. But what did he say? He said, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Think about that. When Simon Peter failed, the Bible says that he went out, and the third time he denied him with cursing and made eye contact with Jesus on that third time. So he went out and he wept bitterly. But you know what Peter also had going in the back of his mind? Jesus' words, but I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. He might have failed him, but he knew that the Lord had prayed for him. That's a powerful truth. Jesus looks Peter in the eye and says, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Praise God. There's something about knowing that somebody's praying for you. We see here in Romans 8, it says, what then should we say to these things? If God is for us, Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph or ever lives to make intercession for us? The same Jesus who looked Peter in the eye before his failure and said, I'm praying for you, ever lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for us. And this is a powerful, it's the way Jesus encouraged Peter. You know, this is going to be one of those you'll thank me later type of things, because at the time Peter thought, I'm not going to miss it. But then he remembered, Jesus is praying for me. My faith is not, Jesus knew, I'm not going to let go of my faith in him. I may not be able to explain everything, but I'm not going to let go of my faith. Jesus is praying for me. Peter had that. You know, Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for us. And this is another gift of encouragement that we can give, to pray for people and to let people know that we're praying for them. Because if you know somebody is praying for you, it says a lot. And you have a heartfelt, I am praying for you. That person looks you in the eye and says, I'm praying for you. Then you know other things that they're not doing. They're not gossiping about you. They're not tearing you down. They're not second-guessing you. They're praying for you. You know, it's one thing to know. It's almost like saying this, I'm praying for you. Not only is God for you, I'm for you. I'm for you too. I'm standing with God for you. I am for you. That's what the encouragement of prayer does. I don't have to know I don't have to solve all the, I'm just standing with them in prayer. I'm encouraging them in prayer. I'm standing, having a posture. I don't even know how this is all going to work out, but I'm for you, and I'm praying for you. You know, I'll tell you what, I heard this in a teaching tape years ago, and it just stuck with me. A guy said, you know, it's not the people that you believe in that really make the biggest impact in your life. It's the people who believed in you that really make the big impact in your life. It's good to have people and teachers that, that can instruct and all that, but people that stand with you, the Barnabas that comes alongside of Paul, the person who stands with you in the middle of failure, those are the people that you can be to somebody else. Those are the person that you can be that actually is like, whoa. It's great to have somebody speak, minister, preach the truth, but the person who's there, boots on the ground, whatever you want to say, those are the people that are really the ones that we can be. And I've had this happen, I'm sure you've had it happen too, where there have been times, you know, where you say you sow and you reap. There have been times I have supernaturally felt like a strengthening of the Spirit, a clarity of thought, and I know I haven't been sowing to the Spirit. And I've wondered, who's praying for me? Ever have that? Somebody's praying for me somewhere, you know. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. And you can just speak life or you can speak death. Man, I want to speak life. I'm thankful for people. I'm there. I know I'll get to heaven. I'll find out who that was praying for me at certain times and situations like that. But that's the power that we have. We have the power to pray. I love this story that Judy shares about her niece, where she just felt Judy Ducharme about just an urgency to pray, pray and pray. And lo and behold, she found out later she's in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, you know, over treading water all night long, supernaturally sustained. You don't know. You're just prompted to pray. It's like, wow, that's really cool. Sometimes God will just prompt you to pray, and you don't know. You might just pray in the Spirit and not know it till you get to heaven when you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ and he rewards you according to deeds done in the body. He says, you remember when you prayed, you were prompted and obedient to pray? Well, this is what happened. You'll know the rest of the story sometimes when it comes to being this kind of an encourager. Sometimes you'll know, sometimes you won't always know. And you can't always tell somebody, I'm praying for you, depending on the situation. A lot of times you can, but sometimes you just have to be led by the Holy Spirit. But in any case, you can pray. You can pray. You can encourage somebody's spirit. You can just know that, Lord, I'm just speaking life over that person. I'm speaking life over that situation. So that's kind of the heart that I just wanted to get across this morning. Just a simple gift of encouragement. You know, there's just different things, different ways that we can do it. And as I look at these, this list of encouragement, the types of encouragement, hope and faith and prayer, you know, Julie and I have been so blessed with this wonderful Door of Life family, because you guys have showered us with encouragement in all these different areas. And I just think through the years how important it's been to us to have your hope and your faith and your prayers that have just, you know, helped us to move on and to go on and grow and just keep going in the things of God. And but really what I wanted to do too is just say that this is a precious time, this time of year, to remember that we've got this gift. That this is something that we can, just as sure as you're intentional about going out to buy that gift for somebody, you can be intentional about how am I going to bless somebody with a gift of encouragement. Lord, show me what to give this person in terms of encouragement. It could be a word of hope, faith, prayer, maybe just lifting them up in prayer, just letting them know I'm praying for you, whatever that is. But this is a gift that we all have to give. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the precious power of encouragement that you have empowered us with by your Holy Spirit, by the precious words, Lord, through the Word of God, through just the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I just pray for each one of us this morning as we're going off into this Christmas season, that you just stir our hearts. Just show us, Lord, people, situations, maybe areas that we've had a hard time with, maybe areas we've been critical, and the answer is a gift. Maybe there's a present that can minister to them and even heal our hearts, Father. Show us, Lord. Show us the gifts that we can be given. Show us people and what they need, Lord. Show us their hearts so we can know how to love them, how we can care for them. Go ahead and make a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your encouragement. The precious Holy Spirit who speaks to my spirit and says, You're a child of God. You are loved. Abba, Father, comes from my spirit because of you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you for your love. Show me how to give it away through the gospel, through words of encouragement, words of hope, words of faith, and prayers. Use me this Christmas season to give the gift of encouragement. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. You know, I just felt a kind of a simple little word, but a word that can be very powerful. You think of how exciting it is to get a word from God. You get something in the Spirit. You get a revelation, and how God can use you as a messenger of that word. You might say a simple little word of encouragement that you got in your heart, and God spoke that very word to him earlier that day. And it's not just like a good little word of encouragement. It's like a Holy Spirit supernatural affirmation of something he's doing. That's the stuff that we don't know. We just do our best to follow after God, follow his encouragement to us and pass it along, and to be a Barnabas, to be a Barnabas to our generation, that we can have that surname, that nickname, or nickname of Barnabas, also called as Barnabas, and to think about, you know, God use me, make me a Barnabas. Praise God.